Pete Stevenson discussing the Bible's view of family relationships.
Today we're continuing to look at the search for wisdom. The search for wisdom is one of the most important acts of a young person's life. It involves, first of all, the decision to receive Jesus Christ as your Savior, to go the way of the Lord in Christianity, and to turn away from the ways of the world. And of course, in doing this, it involves the added decisions that come up from time to time as you consider various worldly activities and reject them in favor of doing that which pleases God. The wisdom and understanding that you need for this way of life comes from God as His gift to you. To a large extent, He's given this guidance in His Word, the Bible, and you need to read the book in order to find out what God thinks about the various issues of life. As you read, as you study, as you memorize, as you meditate, and as you obey the Bible, you're going in the ways of biblical wisdom. In the book of Proverbs, there's a heavy emphasis on the need for a young person to do just that. In particular, Solomon emphasizes the need for you to have a proper attitude toward wisdom. In several passages, the father of this book exhorts his son to accept wisdom wholeheartedly as his guiding principle. For instance, in Proverbs 4:6, the father tells the son to love wisdom. Verse 8 adds the thought that he should exalt her or prize her, and that he should embrace her. It's as though wisdom were a young bride waiting to be tenderly clasped by her new husband. In addition, Proverbs 7:1 says, "My son, keep my words and lay up my commandments with thee." The phrase "lay up" literally refers to treasuring, an attitude of the heart that the son should display toward his father's commands. Verse 2 adds that he should treat these words as the apple of thine eye. In other words, the son is to treat wisdom as though it were a rare treasure with great value to it. He's to store it in his mind. By treating it as the apple of his eye, he gives it the concern that he would give to any precious commodity. When you take all these references together, you can see that the father here is guiding his son to develop a positive mental attitude toward wisdom, merely going through the motions of obedience. Mechanically accepting his father's instructions would not satisfy these exhortations to the child. Only by wholeheartedly and sincerely embracing these principles of wisdom can the young person satisfy the standards that the father here sets before him. I'd like to ask you today, what's your attitude toward the wisdom of God? Do you love biblical truth? Do you treasure it as though it had great value to it? Do you embrace it by spending time in the Word of God and by trying earnestly to learn more and more about God's ways? Or do you have a casual, matter-of-fact attitude toward the truth of God's Word that leads you to ignore these principles? In all likelihood, if you don't have a positive attitude toward God's wisdom, there's some kind of sin in your heart that has separated you from the path that God wants you to be following. It may be some habit or activity that is wrong, or it may be a mental sin pattern that you refuse to give up, but whatever it is, it's wrong, and you need to confess that sin and turn back to the attitude that will please the Lord. Let me remind you, parents, that it's your responsibility to set the example for your children. Your love for God's truth will impress itself on them, but your casual treatment of biblical wisdom will similarly impress them with the lack of earnestness that you display. By the grace of God, let's determine that we're going to live with the right attitude toward biblical wisdom.
You've just heard Viewpoint with Pete Stevenson discussing the Bible's view of family relationships.